Hello and welcome again to Naxos Classical Spotlight, with music by Paul Hindemith and an interview with Marin Alsop, Chief Conductor of the ORF Vienna Radio Symphony Orchestra. An interview about Hindemith and this new recording, and about the educational program she helped develop during her 14 years as Music Director of the Baltimore Symphony. That interview in a minute. First, here's a bit more of Engelkonzert, Angel's Concert, the first movement of Hindemith's symphony titled Matthäus der Mahler. Paul Hindemith, he seems like such a challenging composer to program.
It's so interesting because I feel that Hindemith is one of those sort of forgotten treasures that we have, perhaps because of the angularity and the discord that he used. And I don't know how he got the rep of, he's sort of, I think, synonymous, at least in the United States, with box office death. I think he's an absolutely marvelous composer, inventive, resourceful. I think melodic as well. And also, I think he's a composer for me with a real moral to the narrative that he's espousing through his music. And, you know, for me, when I was thinking about the very first concert I would do in Vienna as the new chief conductor of the Vienna Radio Symphony, the RSO, I started thinking about Hindemith in terms of his connection to tradition. You know, I was really thinking about Vienna as a sort of a radical tradition that can be upended and that maybe needs to be upended now and then. And I think Hindemith to me is one of those kind of composers. I mean, he's very traditional in his approach, his compositional approach, but he's really radical in his language. And so I felt like, let's go a little bit with Hindemith. And I wanted to do a piece that would have overtones of feminist theme, because, you know, Vienna is not well known for gender equality, as you might have said.
Yes.
So I thought about this short opera, Sancta Susanna. And then when I proposed that as sort of a centerpiece on this program, my colleague at the RSO said, well, why don't you just do all Hindemith? And I thought, okay, you have definitely left the United States. No orchestra in America would ever say those words out loud. So then, of course, we settled on the Matthäus der Mahler symphony to go with Sancta Susanna. And that's another incredible narrative piece. And, you know, the great thing, I think, was when my colleague, Christoph Becker, said, well, don't you want something edgy to go with the Hindemith? I thought, okay, I might have just died and gone to heaven. I don't know. You know, when you're asked those questions, like, how inventive can you be? How daring can you be? Those aren't usually the questions that you're asked by an orchestra. You know, usually they want to play it safe. You know, how many tickets can we sell? Is it familiar repertoire? But the brief of the RSO is really, you know, to push the public to really explore music, if not of our actual time, of our recent time. So Hindemith was a perfect sort of entry point for us together.
And you've got a third piece on there that I'd never heard before on the album.
This is a just an excerpted piece from another small opera by Hindemith. He had all of these incredible little operas, and often they were put together to make an evening, that kind of thing, and in triptychs and whatnot. But there's a wealth of repertoire and material, especially in these little operas.
So how did the audience like the all Hindemith program?
Well, it wasn't quite all Hindemith. I opened with a piece by Chris Rouse, and I did a world premiere by Lehrer Auerbach. The little orchestral work that we put on the disc is from an opera called Das Nuschi. It's a tiny one-act opera, and it's subtitled A Play for Burmese Marionettes in One Act. So, you know, it's usually kind of wacky stuff, but it's a delightful little series of dances from that opera. So, you know, even if one can't play the entire short, small opera, you know, there are these fabulous little orchestral pieces that can be extracted and performed. You know, there's one opera that I'm dying to do still. It's called Hin und Zurück, There and Back, or Here and Back. And it's a palindrome. So once it arrives in the middle, it reverses. It's a mirror image going back. I mean, it's very cool and extremely inventive.
Now, wait a minute. So the notes are a mirror image? It's the entire piece. The second half is a reverse mirror of the first half.
Correct. So that it creates its own palindrome.
It makes my brain hurt just to think about that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, but, you know, it doesn't feel like an intellectual exercise because Hindemith is so adept. But you can see that, you know, he was someone who had enough creative and intellectual power that he had to stimulate himself, you know, and create these fun ways of composing.
The music you just heard was from Hindemith's Nusch Nuschi Dances. The third work on this album is Hindemith's short opera Sancta Susanna. Maren, can you tell us a bit more about this work?
It's a piece that is very thought-provoking about the role of women in the church historically, about this idea that, you know, when women have emotional reactions, they're often thought of as being hysterical, you know, as opposed to people validating these emotions. And, you know, the issues of gender and religion and sex and religion, they're huge issues that have been with the church, of course, since the beginning of time. And this is a piece that really, really, I think, opens the window to start discussing these issues. And of course, when it was originally performed, it was highly, highly controversial. But of course, that depends on how it's directed and how one presents the material. Because I don't think Hindemith himself is trying to convince us of one very defined dogma. He's really trying to, I think, open people up to a broader view and to the idea of starting a discourse.
The music is absolutely sumptuous. It's just such gorgeous music. I can't believe it's not played a lot more.
It's true, but this is how I feel about almost all of Hindemith. You know, the music is stunning, and it really deserves, I think, a place. I was going to say a broader place, but it deserves a place, period, in the repertoire.
Where did you first encounter the music of Hindemith? Was it as a conductor or?
My first encounter with Hindemith's music, I think, was as a student, as a violin student. And I'd heard, I think, Schwanendreher, the piece for solo viola and orchestra. I'd heard a couple of other chamber pieces. And then when I really started to fall in love with Hindemith's music was when I performed a piece called The Four Temperaments at the New York City Ballet as a violinist. I played in that orchestra. And it's a phenomenal piece for solo piano. And I think it's just strings, really inventive, really creative. And of course, I'd never heard it before. And I thought, wow, where has this piece been? And then I started exploring a lot of Hindemith. And when I first became a student of Bernstein's in 1989, this was one of the first pieces he picked for me to work on, the Matisse der Mahler symphony.
Do you have any idea why he picked this piece in particular? Because you loved it or?
No, I mean, I think he loved the piece. I think he also thought it was a sort of a hidden treasure that he wanted to introduce me to. I think he hoped that I would make it part of my repertoire, which I did. And also technically as a conductor, it has a lot of challenging moments. And so I think for all of those reasons, but I bet the biggest reason, even though I never really asked him the question directly, I think the biggest reason was probably because he loved the piece and he wanted to share it with me.
Thank you. What do these pieces bring to an orchestra? Because I know as a former orchestral musician, different composers bring different things and challenge orchestras in different ways.
I think the sound world we're trying to create is, it's a bit of a fantasy world always. You know, it's a mythological experience, whether it's through Santa Susanna or through the Matthias der Mahler, you know, that tale of someone coming to terms with being an artist in the throes of a revolution and whether you can, you know, justify that. And of course, it's all framed in this medieval storyline. So I think Hindemith has a complex and multi-layered approach to his narrative. And so I believe his sound world has to reflect that same kind of complexity, but I think depth is what I'm looking for always.
Aaron, you just finished, 14 years leading the Baltimore Symphony. And during that time, you developed some kind of extraordinary programs around education and diversity and inclusion. And I'd love to hear you talk about those a bit.
Oh, sure. Well, I really do appreciate you asking about the educational initiatives that I was able to get in place in Baltimore, because I feel that these are the initiatives that will create a pathway to a future in our industry that's more open, more inclusive, certainly more diverse in terms of participants. When I came to Baltimore, I was, you know, once again struck. So this was in 2007, I began officially, but I started conducting quite a lot in 2005. And I was struck by the lack of diversity in the orchestra. I mean, it of course, as we know, it's an issue worldwide, but particularly in the United States, and especially in a city that's predominantly African-American, I think over 60% African-American. And I realized that, you know, this is really a matter of, number one, of economics, that kids do not have the same opportunities if they don't have the financial wherewithal, you know, and they don't have the luxury of being able to have their parents spend money on, you know, buying an instrument or private lessons or this kind of thing. So I just started thinking, what if we could create access for these kids? What would happen? Would they be interested in classical music? Would they gravitate toward it? And so in 2008, after a lot of discussion and lots of analyzing Baltimore and the school system, we started a program with 30 first graders and in West Baltimore. So it's, I think it's predominantly, if not 100% African-American, and we had no idea. I had no idea what the outcome would be or whether they would even be interested in the program. And it was a fascinating journey. You know, we tried to really listen to what the kids wanted, what the kids needed. And I have to tell you that today, this is just 12 years later, 13 years later, we have over 2,000 kids playing musical instruments. And believe it or not, of that first group of 30 kids, we have many who graduated from high school and went on to higher education in music. It's really striking. And the kids are phenomenal. I mean, not only are they wonderful, you know, players and super talented, but they're also great citizens of the world. You know, these are the kids that are going to be tomorrow's leaders. They're going to be our civic, our community leaders. And it's just, it's great to see, because it really reinforced my belief that by giving people the same opportunity, they can achieve the same things. So it really is a matter of opening the doors wide and embracing everyone. So I couldn't be prouder of the kids. They're doing great. Several are studying music education, music performance, music management as well. Everybody stays in touch. And part of the program, a big part of the program, is the expectation that the older kids will mentor the younger kids. So we have this incredibly beautiful cycle of giving back. And our older kids, even after they've gone on to college and stuff, they often come back and work with the younger kids.
Been listening to music by Paul Hindemith and performances by the ORF Vienna Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Maren Alsop, who has also been my interview guest today. The music is from a new Naxos album that includes the Nushi Nushi dances, the short opera Sancta Susanna, and the symphony Matthias der Mahler, Naxos catalog number 8.574283. My thanks to Maren for taking the time to chat. That's all for this podcast. To go out, here's the very ending of the symphony Matthias der Mahler. I'm Raymond Bechet. Thanks for joining me. So long for now. Thank you.